Welcome to the Marvel of Horror, where we talk all things past, present, and future as they pertain to the horror genre. I'm your host, your friend, fellow horror enthusiast, Bruce Marvel, and joining me today is original composer, arranger, orchestrator, and music producer, Christopher Robinson. Christopher, thank you so much for doing this. I'm really glad you're coming on the show, because I've brought up on many times in the show before how I think music and film today is kind of lacking, so to speak. Not like back in the older days with Jerry Goldsmith and some of these iconic guys doing these iconic scores. But I got to ask you, first off, what's your first real experience with the horror genre?
I would say the very, very first thing that really got me into horror would have to be R.L. Stine's Goosebumps TV show. I think for a lot of people, where at least when they were kids, that was kind of the first thing. I never read the books until later, but I specifically remember this episode right here, The Haunted House.
Oh, yeah, that was the premiere episode, right?
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
The very first one, and I just never forgot that grotesque mask. And the theme song is the thing that a lot of people still remember. I see it circulating around cyberspace every year, all year round. But it's I forgot where Jack Lenz got the inspiration from. It's from a very old composition. I can't remember who the original composer was, but that's where he got the inspiration from, and he kind of went from there. But yeah, that theme song, it used to freak me out when I was a kid. Or I would say it used to spook me out when I was a kid, which is actually the title of my horror album, called Spooked. So it's kind of pulling inspiration from my first introduction to horror, which was that. And then from there, everything else kind of just came after that. It took a couple of years for me to kind of love the genre. It wasn't until I got a little bit older and started learning the behind the scenes of what it takes to make a film, or what it takes to write a script and develop these characters, the special effects and all that stuff. Seeing how that worked, it kind of really pulled my interest. And so I gained a deeper appreciation for that craft. And so, musically, I love storytelling, and just, I think also ballet, being introduced to that. There's no talking, there's no acting, there's no singing, it's just dancing, and the orchestra is literally the backbone of emphasizing the story. So, if something dramatic's happening, it's going to be, or if something's more lush, it's going to be a little more mellow. Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker was my first ballet introduction, and I fell in love with that score when I was in elementary school, probably fifth grade. I think I saw I went on a field trip for that, and that kind of just further developed my ability for storytelling and orchestration, whether it's for the screen or for stage. I just love getting into the, as I tell many folks, I love getting into the psychology of music composition. It's because it's a mental thing. When you really get deep into it, mm-hmm. you're trying to write motifs for characters and such like that. You really get deep into the, learning their personalities and being able to create that sound that represents what that theme is or what is going on here and stuff like that. So that's pretty much, in short, my introduction of how I got into horror.
I checked out the video for Get Spooked, in preparation for this interview. And like I said, you can totally hear, in the beginning of the track, you can really hear you can really hear the nods to the Nightmare on Elm Street theme, and obviously the Goosebumps and stuff. Like I said, it's totally your own, but those homages are there, which is really cool. I watched the making and the behind the scenes of that video. And yeah, when you brought up Goosebumps, I was like, yes, that's definitely going to come in to the interview, because I read the books first.
Yeah.
I think by the time the show came out, I was already kind of moving, I was moving up to Stephen King and stuff like that. But I loved those books. And I think Werewolf of Fever Swamp was the last one I read.
I haven't read that book yet. I actually started collecting all of the original books. I was able to find them, and this is actually an original, and it's in
mid-. Yeah. The first eight are amazing. I think it's Welcome to Dead House and Stay Out of the Basement and Monster Blood. I used to know them, because I those first 10, like I remember like spending a summer just like reading them like front to back and then just starting over.
Yeah, that Welcome to Dead House, it's I read that for the first time last year, I think last October, from cover to cover, and it's still good. Like I know that was R.L. Stine's first stab at writing children's horror novels, and he's never done he didn't think he could do it at the time, so he was writing like teen series, so he was kind of that first book was kind of like a little bit of that, but dumbed watered down a bit. So it made sense why it was, 'cause there were some situations in those chapters where I'm like, whoa, this is a kid's book.
Like I was like, wow, there's a lot of people, like there's a lot of like dead ghosts and like people who died in that house for something that's so, because I think the I want to say the first one I read was Night of the Living Dummy. The first one I got my hands on. And even like Stay Out of the Basement. Stay Out of the Basement was
Oh
pretty
yeah, that one.
hardcore for like being a kid.
But I mean, it's great though, because it's, I guess, with a lot of children's properties and our TV shows and whatnot, sometimes we think, oh, we have to dumb things down a bit because they may not be able to comprehend this, or they may not be able to handle certain things. But I mean, that's not necessarily true. And actually, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today, and we were near Rollins College, and that's so Mr. Rogers came up in the subject matter. He attended that university. And there's like a statue of him somewhere. I still haven't seen it, but there's a big mural that I always pass up all the time. And so we were just talking musically of how he understood that children can comprehend more than what we think they can. So when he bought musicians in, this is how I got into jazz music, was because a slightly deviating way. But this is how I got into
It's
jazz music.
okay. We don't stay inside the lines here at the Marvel Bar.
But this is how I got into jazz music, because of that TV show at a young age. He bought in his musicians, and he told him, I have this children's show that I want to develop. And they thought that they were going to have to play, teeny bopper, nah, 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 stuff like that. But he was like, no, I want you guys to play like you usually play. Just play my composition, but play it in your style. And that's what they did. And I think musically, that's what made the show. It was a simple band size, a piano, upright bass, and Sturm drums. That was it. And like, that music is just so good. I wish they had a soundtrack of that TV show, because the music is just, it's so nice. That alone in itself is an example of, children can comprehend something more than what we think. That
I
by
agree.
the horror films that are the scariest to me are the ones that feel real, as in something that could act like this could actually happen in real life. There are a few films that I've seen, that I've watched. I think one of them was the Saw movie. I watched the behind the making of that movie last week, and I didn't realize how young the writers were, or the creators of that film were. But I know that movie in particular changed the game for like film scoring and just film itself, because that was a very psychological horror film. I think Jordan Peele kind of was like the next, I guess, film developer that did the same kind of psychological film premises and such like that. But I just remember when I was listening to the film score of Saw for the first time, I couldn't touch that movie for a while, because after I thought too much for me. But I when I watched the behind the scenes, and I got a little older, I've been involved in the film industry a little bit more, so I was able to comprehend and understand the creative thought process of what they were aiming for. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And then going back to that film score, that very iconic, I think it's called the Hans Zimmer or something like that, I forgot the name of it, but it's the overture. It's the iconic film motif. Dun, 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 dun. There's like three different versions of it on the soundtrack, but the one that I was looking for was the one that's actually played in the film, because it gets very crazy towards the end, and it's all of this synthesizer with the symphonic and all this craziness going on. I actually wrote a song that's kind of inspired by that. It's actually going to be on the Spooked album in the future. But it has that same tone and the same types of instruments. But I just remember when I had to listen to it like three times, because it's a certain part in the score where it just gets I can't even think of words to describe it, but it's just that good. It hits you right in the right places where it should. And I went and watched the scene again, and I was like, man, this score really made the moment for the end of that scene. If that score wasn't written the way it was, that final scene wouldn't have been as impactful as many people remember it. Music is a very infectious emotional thing that just adds emphasis to a story. And I didn't realize the importance it had until I had my first personal experience through my own works that I did. So we were doing a Fringe production out here in Orlando. The Fringe Festival is basically all of the theater writers and creatives, they come together and they produce original shows. We did one that I guess was kind of psychological. It was inspired by Freaky Friday. There we go. Yeah, it was inspired by that. And so they basically wanted to have some kind of score with it. Like, it wasn't a musical or anything, but they just wanted some kind of musical undertones just to kind of help carry the story along. So I was like, okay, great, I can do that. Eventually, I was able to just carry the torch with, on my own, and I just started going through the script. I did this all in one day, actually. Before the next rehearsal, I was like, okay, I'm gonna surprise the director and just see what he thinks and everyone else does. And so I went through the whole script. I did my thing, bought everything in that afternoon or that evening. And so I'm just playing the cues, and I'm like excited too, because I'm like, oh, wait till they hear this, wait till they hear that, wait till they hear, what are they gonna think? So I'm just, playing each cue, and I'm just seeing the reactions from the cast members. And when we get, there's a dramatic transition score that I wrote at the very end when they switch back, and I just remember three of the cast members in the back were just, they did some hand motion to me like. So anyways, we get to the actual show when we do it publicly, and I just remember hearing all of the emotions and the gasps and the exhales. Specifically at the very end, one of the characters, he does the soliloquy at the very end. The way I wrote it is it's a simple orchestration. It's an acoustic guitar and maybe a piano, I think I had going on. And it's very lush, very settled, because it's a sentimental moment. He's like reflecting back on stuff. And so there's one little line he's supposed to say at the very end. So I kind of pause the music there, and I split it to a separate track. And so after he said this next line, it's literally just a simple little guitar strum. It's a chord. And once I did that, I just heard all the exhales from the audience. I'm like, okay, we did our job. I walk out, and everyone's applauding the actors and da 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 da. And so I'm just thinking, I'm just gonna walk out, and that be it. But I'm hearing louder applause or more applause, and everyone's staring at me. I'm like, oh, I'm like, why am I being applauded? They're like, the music was so good. So from that point on, that was my realization that okay, music with a story can be very, very powerful, or can impact the power of what already exists within the story itself.
Would Jaws be the legendary movie it is without that score? Or
Right. And there's been so many parodies of it. SpongeBob did a parody of it.
yeah. Oh yeah. I mean that music is so iconic, and it's gonna like live forever. It's gonna live probably past like the actual movie. You know what I mean? Like when you hear Jaws or you see a shark, that's
You
like
automatically
what you
think,
think of. John Williams, like, I mean, come on, let's say Star Wars. I mean, the Imperial March. Music is so important. I think, like, they're getting like going back to like horror movies. Like, I think now, I think they got pretty reliant on the you might actually know more about this. They call it the apprehension machine or the nightmare
Oh,
machine.
those the basically like the risers and
Yeah,
the
or like the real of like the strings.
oh, yeah.
A lot of movies use that now, and I think they kind of like they kind I think they kind of like overdoing it now.
Yeah, I've noticed there is a continuous formula in the film scoring. Speaking of which, a friend of mine, he does a lot of film trailers. His name is William Hunt. He actually worked on he worked on a few Disney stuff, but he also did one of he worked on one of Jordan Peele's. I think it was Nope. He worked
Okay.
on that trailer. But one of the questions I had asked him, because I've noticed a lot of film trailers, they over-exaggerate the score, and then when you actually see the movie, it's like, wait, where was that dramatic cue that I heard? And so I had asked him, and he said, yeah, that basically it's for just the trailer, just to hypen it up, give it a little bit more spice, a little bit more seasoning to get people lured in to want to go see the film. But the actual score usually is not as crazy, you know, depending on what it is, what, you know, the whole film is itself. But that was something that had always stayed in my mind, because I, like you said, I've noticed it's like a continuous formula with not just the trailers, but yeah, the film scores too. It's a similar sound that's being used. That was the interesting thing about the classic horror films, is because not everyone, there was no sampled instruments. You know, a lot of, even a lot of like Netflix TV shows, some of the composers, they're, you know, we don't really use live orchestras anymore. Everything is pretty much digital. If there is any strings, they are using you know, sampled orchestras that give you that realistic sound. I mean, I used them myself. You know, me working on a budget. You know, it's convenient for, you know, those composers who are working on a budget who can't afford a live orchestra. You know, you can still capture the vision, that the musical vision that you have, that you've always had in your mind. One of the interesting things that I loved about the Goosebumps TV score was, so there was an interview that with Jack, that two fans did with Jack Lenz. You can, I think the podcast is still on YouTube somewhere, but I'm so glad I found it, because he actually released his entire TV score from that show. I actually got both of the formats, so I got the vinyl record, and then they also did a, and it's like in the style of the VHS, which I love the artwork, Tim Jacobus artwork.
It's awesome.
But that is actually what inspired me to do my own album. After I listened to that, I'm like, I gotta do something like this myself. One of the interesting things that he said is, because he was talking about the inspiration and how he came up with these different sounds, because in the TV show there was a lot of weird sounds that you heard. And so apparently with him, his approach, he would take like animal sounds and infuse that in with the rest of the orchestration of synthesizers or whatever, and it just worked so well, because you wouldn't even tell, you couldn't even tell it was an animal sound, because once you add your processing and reverb and all that stuff to it, it just sounds like something wacky and the horrific story. So, you know, I love, you know, learning about that kind of stuff, because it also educates the you know, a composer like myself as to, oh, I could do something like that too. You know, we learn from the previous great people, and we then take that and, you know, and incorporate that into our own original musical visions. So I kind of started playing around with like animal sounds and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this is so cool, because it just he's so much more unique. Like in the Goosebumps theme song, there's a bird sound. It's just repeated, doo, 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 but it's a little high pitched. I had a bird sound as well. I put that in my spook, Get Spooked single thing. So it just makes it more fun. Nightmare on Elm Street had a lot of that stuff. I didn't even realize that young Johnny Depp was in this film. I've
I
always seen
saw I saw that part in your email, and I was like, oh man, no way.
Yes, I've only watched that film three times in my lifetime. First time I probably wouldn't count it, because I was a little young and couldn't handle horror films too much. But second time, I don't think I was too familiar with Johnny Depp's work yet. But this time around, I've of course seen a lot of his stuff. Anytime I'm curious, I'm like, who's this actor? This person looks familiar. I go and IMDb it, and I'm like, what's
IMDb is
up,
a
guys?
godsend, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I've been using that thing since I was in junior high school.
I've been using it the last I guess the last like 10 years, and it's like, yeah, oh my God, thank goodness for it, 'cause I can't retain information anymore like I used to be able to.
Right. Yeah, before we had the app, I think back then I used to have to, like, I would write the actors' names down and just so I could remember who these people were. But yeah, he just Johnny Depp just looks so much different. I think that's what it was, why I couldn't put two and two together. But I was like, wow, like early days. But yeah, that
How
score.
funny is it too that he's the jock in that
Right.
movie? Like, that's even funnier. It's like he's in the movie, but he's the jock.
That just goes to show his versatility as an actor. He can
Is true. This is
pull off
true.
very well.
This is true.
I think that's another reason probably why I didn't realize. I'm like, oh, wait, that's him. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that score was was that score had a lot of those weird sounds as well. Obviously synthesizers, but who knows what other things they layered on top of that to get. I mean, I wish I could talk to the composer of that. I think it was Jerry Goldsmith that was the composer of Nightmare on Elm Street, if I'm right. I think so. 1984.
I think so. He actually made a note, and it's Charles Bernstein, I think, maybe.
Oh yeah, no, okay. Jerry is Gremlins, I think.
Jerry's Gremlins.
Yeah.
And Poltergeist, because his, we'll get to him in a second, because his sound is like, I immediately just associate him with any kind of like Spielberg movie. Like, like that sound is so like, you can totally, even as a kid, when I heard Gremlins and I heard like the music in Poltergeist, I knew it was the same guy. Well, hopefully one day, like the Goosebumps stuff, like I've never seen the movies they did. I know they did a movie with like Jack Black, and I think they did like a sequel to it. I'm hoping they actually like do, I don't know, kind of like what Netflix is doing with like Fear Street. I hope like they do like, hey, we're going to do some movies, but we're going to focus those movies strictly on maybe one story in the book.
Disney Plus did a reboot of Goosebumps last October. It was released. Of course, I had to watch it. It wasn't done like the 90s one that we grew up with. And I had to understand that too. And thankfully I'm an open book. When I go into anything, or whether it's a movie or a book or whatever, I rather judge it afterwards, give my critiques afterwards, but I like to go in on with a clean slate and just enjoy it for what it is. There were some fans of OG Goosebumps fans that weren't too pleased about it. They were a little upset. I mean, they kind of enjoyed it for what it was, but there were some things that I agree could have been done better. Thankfully they're getting a second season and they're doing it differently, and I think maybe they listened to the fans because a lot of fans were upset. They're kind of doing it like the original 90s, where it's a different story with different actors every time, supposedly. But the last one, it was, I think it was 10 episodes. And it was just the same characters, and it was just the story continues and continues, like kind of like what they do with all the other Netflix TV shows. Okay. The same characters, and you're going through this journey until the very end of the season or whatever. But they did do a really interesting job on the readaptation of some of the books. The Haunted Mask one was kind of weird. The interesting thing is they kind of took some of those iconic items from the books, and it kind of carried through the story, so it weaved into the next, kind of causing the next thing to happen and the next thing to happen. So I thought that was interesting. A lot of people were upset at the theme song because,
oh, really? You know, like,
music is very important. So I'm interested.
It is. To see it really is.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with the reboot, with the second season, because a lot of people are hoping that they would do use the same theme song. Like what Nickelodeon did when they rebooted all that, they used the same original one, which I thought was great. But with this one, they took a different approach. It like you said, it had the same repetitive sound like we hear in some of these other new age horror films. It's that same strings, and then, you know.
We all know you're using that one instrument.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, we get it.
You probably notice this too when you watch the Get Spooked music video and all that stuff. A lot of the artwork I did was inspired from Tim Jacobus's work, because I was like, I really wanted to like really capture that artistic world aside from the musical part of it. Even this shirt I designed is inspired from Goosebumps too. So it was really fun for the inner kid in me. It was more of a passion project, but I think the other thing is aside from being inspired by the Jack Lenz's album from the TV score, when I found out that Goosebumps was getting a reboot, and once I knew when the date was happening, I was like, oh, I got to release something from this album, because it's going to, you know, Goosebumps is going to be like up and popping again. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a single release. It'll be both a way to test the waters and see what people think of this idea. And then on top of that, to get, you know, hopefully get people to listen to it. Which it actually kind of worked out pretty well. So there's going to be another single release. Actually, you got the exclusive.
Go ahead. Yeah. Tell us everything you can, everything you feel comfortable sharing.
Not giving away the title yet, but there is going to be another single release in October. Don't know when in October, probably early October, mid October. But it's It all came from a dream, actually. I've had plenty of dreams where I've written, like, I guess you would say they were almost like Grammy Award winning songs. And I've had other friends that had these similar experiences. And it's like when you wake up, you try to remember as much of it as you can, but you just can't remember all the details. But this particular time, I woke up and still had it fresh in the mind. I grabbed my phone with my groggy voice and I tried to hum or whistle it as much as I could just to remember the hook. And it was interesting. I'll give you a little hint of it, but the original song that was in my head, it was this weird dream I had. And you know how sometimes you have dreams different that you go from one scene to the next and it has nothing to do with the previous scene. So it was one of those things. And so, but by the time I got to the very end, I don't know how we got to modern time to 1700s, but that's how it ended, I guess. Because the music was very waltzy, like 3/4, that like yo ho ho yo kind of like thing. I don't know if this was Pirates of the Caribbean or what. Thinking about Johnny Depp, I don't know. But yeah, it was just this very sweet lady goes to this child and she's like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna be the judge for today." But she's singing it in this waltzy kind of whatever, like very traditional. Seven Seas on, you know, on the river, kind of a whatever. And it, but the hook that she was singing was just very catchy and I never forgot it. So that's what I was humming on my phone, voice memo. And so I was like, okay, let's hope I can actually remember this when I actually go to record it. So I finally recorded it last week I started, and every couple of days I'll go back and add to it. I think yesterday I actually completed the entire first demo. And it's great. It's awesome. We actually released the CD of the single too. So it's inspired by Goosebumps too. But yeah, it'll be an album, probably about 20 tracks, I want to say. I think that's what we got. I've written about 15 compositions already. Two other songs were like radio songs. And so, but like after listening to those film scores, like Nightmare on Elm Street, and just listening to, I mean, some of those tracks aren't even that long. I think one of them was like 30 seconds, another one's a minute and something. But of course, some of that stuff is like music cues that happened in the film. So of course they threw that in there, but just the simplicity of some of the scores, but that are contained in the track listing. They're so, like I said earlier, they're so simple, but they're still, cringy and you know everything that it needs to be for that film itself, and so that opened my mind for how I'm going to further carry out this album of mine. But yeah, that's basically what this album is. It's basically everything that kind of spooked me as a kid. film, TV shows, books, TV shows, even some like radio artists. I want to say it was a Tupac song, and the hook of the song was "I See Death Around the Corner," and that was like the chorus part. And the music was just very sinister. And I was very young, so I didn't really understand. I wasn't really comprehending everything, but I knew this was something serious, spooky, and there was the word death mentioned in it. So I was like, okay. And I had already kind of knew the story behind that behind Tupac already. So the fact that I was able to kind of comprehended in this way at the young age, I think I was 13, but I knew about him being killed and all that stuff. So I felt like that song was like, I don't know, like maybe he was telling his future or something, just the, because I, it's, who knows? I mean, it's it really got me thinking a little more than I should, but I have a very vivid imagination. I dive deeply into thoughts a lot, and so especially with music, and so you know, just hearing that, and the song was on a repetitive loop, but the lyrics and the tone of his voice we were listening to the song at night in the car, so that also added to the so you know, I had the environment around me. Yeah, that was a very creepy feel, but I use some inspiration from that and, you know, into this work too. So
a friend of mine, I remember we, like zombies, I don't know if they scare them now still, but zombies scared the living crap out of him. Like he thought zombies could like become real. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's like if like vampires will never exist. Werewolves will never exist. Zombies might exist one day. So that's why like they scared him so much. And I forget what movie we were going to see, but they showed this was, this was like many years ago. They were showing a trailer for Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. And
Oh, yeah.
that was the first movie I ever seen zombies run. This was just the trailer. Me and his wife at the time had to like hold him like in the seat because he just wanted to like get up and like he was so scared.
Oh my
He
God.
was like running zombies. Oh my, yeah. We had to like hold. It's okay, man. It's just a trailer. Just relax. He was gonna just get up and like run out of the theater. He was terrified. I never seen zombies scare someone so big.
Yeah, like I'm used to like the slow walking. At least you can get a few feet away from them.
Yeah,
I
I
think.
never understood how like the zombies in like Night of the Living Dead like killed anybody.
Yeah, wait, is that the one where they're underground and like they're hiding from the? Is it that one? Like, there's so many
Well,
night of.
it's part like so there was Night of the Living Dead, there was Dawn of the Dead, that's the one in the mall, and then Day of the Dead, I think it's like where they're underneath, but they're all still like the slow moving zombies.
Because there was like the really nice one that was like a buddy to one of the
Yeah, they were trying to
cabin.
train to be back a human
I
being,
thought
buddy.
that was kind of cute. It kind of reminded me of that character from the Goonies.
Yes.
The
Yeah,
I've
Rocky
actually.
Road. 28 Days Later is the movie for me that was like, oh man, yeah, I could see that. Like some sort of like bloodborne pathogen that's like getting people like just to go crazy.
Those are the movies where after you leave the theater for the night where you're kind of like scared to go to
Yeah, you start thinking
sleep.
way too hard. If you have one, what is your favorite horror movie score?
It's between Nightmare on Elm Street and Saw. The reason why I say Saw is because it's the score of that is the same style of what I like to write. I love like that Trans-Siberian Orchestra kind of symphonic and synthesizer stuff, and that score has a lot of that. And it definitely made me feel something, especially when I listened to the iconic one, the iconic sound. But I love Nightmare on Elm Street as well because I love that classic sound, and it's different, and it doesn't sound like everything else. And it has those the same thing. It still has the synthesizer and the symphonic. So it has both, but it's that classic sound that I love. And it's so simple, but because I think when I listened to the very first track, it was just I think it was like maybe a 60 seconds, a minute long, 30 seconds long, or something like that. But as soon as you heard that, or whatever it was, you knew what time it was, basically. I'm like, oh, here we go. But yeah, I probably couldn't narrow it down to one just yet. But if we were to do it based on generation, then for what was it? We'd say what 20th century would be Nightmare on Elm Street, 21st would be Saw, I guess.
A movie I talk about a lot because it's like my favorite movie is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Yeah, check it out because I think you would appreciate this. So they've never released that score, and I really wish they would, but for some reason you can't get it. I think Frank Skinner is the guy who
Oh.
is the composer or the arranger. So that movie's so cool because like Dracula's in it, Frankenstein's in it, the Wolfman's in it. Abbott and Costello are like our heroes. Everybody's got like a certain music to them when they're on screen. So Frankenstein's got his theme music, and the way they intertwine them when they're in screen together throughout the whole movie is just fantastic. I think you'd really appreciate it. So like they all got this distinct music pretty much announcing them on screen, and then when they're on together, the way they blend the music together, it's really cool. Like they only really play with five different types of music with these characters, but when they blend them together on screen together, it just creates like a new, it almost creates like a new theme. It's really brilliant how he did it.
That's what makes those scores so memorable. Is the uniqueness in it and how it's engineered, how it's the different, sounds that's infused into it, and just, the overall artistic creation of it. I was going to a performing arts school in New Orleans. That's where I'm originally from. I went there for theater and film, and our acting director His name was Dr. John Hoffman. I believe he was in the original Charlie's Angels movie, like the black and white one. But he would always tell us in class, you know, when you go to an audition or when you're doing a performance, always he would sing it. Actually, he would say, "Give them something to remember you by," you know. And so, same thing musically. You want to give people something to remember, even if it's just one score, like the one that I remember from Saw that everybody knows that that associates it with the film is that. The ending of the scene, that's what everyone knows that movie for, is that da 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 da. And same thing with Star Wars. Star Wars is ba 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 ba. Yeah. So you know, it's those theme songs that, you know, that are written so well that just makes you remember it.
Christopher, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Definitely keep us posted about your single when it drops, any other projects you got. I can't wait for this album to come out next year. You know, we'll put is it okay if I put like in posts, I put some of like your links and stuff?
Oh yeah, totally. Even if anyone wants to buy this shirt that I designed, I also designed these other two shirts as well. If these are the other two. They're all inspired by Goosebumps, of course. This one's rocking out like it's 1995, I think. And this one's was inspired by Real Monsters. So Living Nightmares is
That's
what I'm also.
awesome.
But yeah, these are they're all on the links that I sent earlier in the week. You can just buy them right off. Even if you want to buy the CD, it's still on market. So all of that stuff is in the link. But
I'll have my editing team put that up so people can get the link and stuff like that. Again, I want to thank you for coming on. Christopher Robinson, everybody, YouTube at the Marvel of Horror podcast. Like, subscribe. If you have any comments or any movies or anything you want us to review, talk about, maybe who's your favorite composer? What's your favorite horror score? Leave your comments. And again, I want to thank my guests for coming on and spending this time with us here. And we will. In the comment section, what was your favorite Goosebump book? Because that I definitely want to know. And Chris wants to know that too. We will see you next time.
Have a scary day.